chapter 14. And I hope this message will encourage your heart, especially those that have been thinking about heaven. I've been thinking about heaven more here lately than I have in a long time, because I'm looking at the world and everything that's going on, and you know what? Heaven seems like a really sweet place right about now. And I have people there that I want to see. First of all, I want to see my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know. I want to bow before Him and worship Him. I also want to see my mom and my dad. And I want to meet Nicodemus. I don't know why, but I just want to meet that man for some reason. And so we're going to talk about heaven a little bit tonight. And basically the question, the title of the message is, do you have peace? You know, there's a lot of people who are saved, but they still don't have peace. But God wants them to have peace. People are looking at the news and stuff and just getting so anxious and stuff. And He says, be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And God especially wants His people to have His peace. He doesn't want us to be fretting and wanting, you know, because the best is yet to come. And so I'm looking forward to that. But again, I hope this will be a blessing and a help to you. So here we have John chapter 14. Starting in verse 1, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Father God in heaven, I pray that you'll bless the reading of your word and the preaching of this simple message tonight. Do you have peace? And Father, I pray for that precious brother or sister in Christ who may be going through something and they're not sensing the peace of God, but it's not because you don't want them to have it. You do want them to have that. Even going through trials, you want us to have the peace of God and the joy of the Lord. But Father, there may be someone here tonight and they don't know you as Savior. And I can tell you, if they don't, they really don't have peace, because they don't know the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. So I pray again that you'll use this message to encourage those that are here, those that are listening online. And Father, again, I'm not a great preacher, but I serve a great God. And I just pray that you'd fill me and use me for your glory. In Jesus' precious, holy, and wonderful name I pray. Amen and amen. As I read of the glory of heaven, street of gold that now you walk upon, gates of pearl in that heavenly city, a perfect place prepared is now your own. Safely home in the arms of the Father, with the saints, the Lamb of God redeemed. One day we'll meet there together, so heaven's so much sweeter now to me. And no pain, no death, and no darkness, no sorrow, no tears to be seen. Face to face with our wonderful Savior, songs of praise with angels you now sing. Safely home in the arms of the Father, with the saints, the Lamb of God redeemed. One day we'll meet there together, heaven so much sweeter now to me. In our sorrow we cherish your memory, in our hearts you will always be near. All glory and praise to the Father, for the life we all shared with you here. Safely home in the arms of the Father, with the saints, the Lamb of God redeemed. One day we'll meet there together. Heaven's so much sweeter now to me. Heaven's so much sweeter now to me. Amen. Well, here in this passage of Scripture, Jesus Christ is sharing his heart. And before Jesus was going to the cross, he gathered his disciples together for a final meal. And he begins with a model of humility by washing, demonstrating that true greatness comes from being a servant, as he washes the feet of his disciples, even the feet of the one who was going to betray him, Judas Iscariot. And then he comforts them with the promise of his return, describes the coming of the Holy Spirit, and then he closes their time together with a moving prayer in chapter 17. This is the true Lord's Prayer. But here in this passage of Scripture, I see a God who wants especially his children to have peace. And there's a lot of people without peace in the world. I want to tell you a little story about a lady named Mary. Mary was 90 years old. Now, her son, Neil, is a very, very dear friend of mine. Now, he lives in Siler City, North Carolina, which is about, 30, 40 minutes from where I live. That's where Aunt Bee lived until she passed away, actually, from the Andy Griffith Show. And he had asked me to start praying for his mom. He said, Bruce, he said, my mom tells me she's saved, but he said, I really just don't know. I don't have any peace about it. I just don't know whether my mom truly knows the Lord or not. And so I've been praying for his mother, and as my friend had requested me to do. And then he called me on the phone. He said, Bruce, my mom's not doing real well. And he said, I've been telling her about you. And she said, I want to meet this man. He said, would you come? He said, I know you're busy, you're on the road. And I said, of course I'll come, Neil. And I was doing a church like past them, about an hour past them. And I said, I'll tell you what I do. When I get through Sunday night and Monday morning on my way home, I'll just stop by and see your mom, meet her. And I said, that'd be great. And he said, oh, man, I appreciate that. And so on the way, heading home and going to go by their house, I called his sister. Her name was Mary Beth. And I said, Mary Beth, this is Bruce Fry. I know Neil wanted to tell you that I was coming by. And she said, yeah. She said, but Bruce, the mornings are really not good for her. And I said, okay. Well, I said, I'll just go on home then. And then you call me and tell me when it's a good time now, and I'll come back. And I said, whatever's good for you, you just let me know. So she called me. Sometime about 1 o'clock after lunch or something. And she said, if you can come about 4:30, 5 o'clock, that would be great. And I said, all right. So I headed up there. And I'll never forget, when I walked in there, I met Mary Beth. It was my first time meeting her. And then I walked into the room, and Miss Mary, 90 years old, was laying in the bed. And I sat down and started talking to her. And, of course, Neil met me there so he could introduce me to his mom and his sister. And while I was in there talking to his mom, Neil went outside to pray. And so I'm sitting there, and I was talking to her, and we talked for just a little while, tried to get to know her just a little bit. And then I said, Miss Mary, I said, how are you doing? I said, do you have peace? And tears started coming down her eyes. She said, no, I do not have peace. And I said, well, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And she told me that when she was a little girl, she had made a decision to trust Christ and stuff. And I said, well, why do you not have peace? She said, because I'm scared to die. And I said, well, you know what? If you're scared to die, there's something wrong here. And so I started going through the Bible with her, taking her through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it didn't take me long to figure out she had never trusted Christ as her Savior, because she was trusting in her good works to get her to heaven. Because she kept talking about what she had done and this and that. And I said, look, I said, Miss Mary, all these answers of the questions you're answering to me, all the focus is on you. And she said, yeah, I guess it is, isn't it? I said, do you want to have peace? She said, yes, I want to have peace. And I said, well, I want you to just listen to me, and I'm going to go through the Word of God. I'm going to share the gospel as clear and as simple as I can, and then we'll talk after that. And after I got through sharing the gospel, and I said, Miss Mary, I said, do you believe that you need to trust Christ as your Savior today? She said, yes, I do. And I said, well, look, I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. And then when I get through praying for you, I just want you to cry out to God and tell Him what's on your heart. And I prayed for her. And when she started praying, I started weeping. Neil was in the other room. His son had come at that time too. And they were weeping. We were all weeping. And Miss Mary cried out to God one of the most beautiful prayers I've ever heard in my life. And I'll never forget her saying, God, I don't have peace. And I know you're the Prince of Peace. And I can't say it as eloquently as she did, but God got a hold of her heart that day. And then when she got through praying, she went, woo! This is what it feels like to be saved. And she looked at me and she said, thank you so much for helping me today. Now, when I'd first gotten there, Mary Beth was her caretaker. And I don't know if you've ever done that. I've done that with my dad, my mom, my father-in-law. And so I knew all about that caretaking business. And Mary Beth said, hey, while you're talking to my mom, I just need to get out. I said, Mary Beth, you go. Whatever you got to do, you go. Take your time. And when Mary Beth came back, she walked in there, and I mean, Miss Mary was just, she was just glowing. And when Mary Beth walked in the room, she said, Mary Beth, she said, I just got saved. I found the peace that I've been looking for all my life. And she said, you need to get saved. And Mary Beth said, Mom, I got baptized when I was a kid. I'm okay. I said, Mary Beth, sit down. I want to talk to you. Her mom was trusting in her good works for salvation. Mary Beth was trusting in her baptism for her salvation, which is also a work. And I shared the gospel with Mary Beth, 51 years old, tears streaming down her face, and she trusted Christ as her Savior. You know, there are people in this world that don't have peace because they don't know the Prince of Peace. They don't know Jesus Christ as Lord. And so first I see in this passage of Scripture, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I see a peace on earth. Now when Jesus came, he didn't say that peace is going to be on all the earth, but he is the Prince of Peace, so he was peace on earth. In John 14, 27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. 1 John 5, 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior brings peace. And then Romans 5, 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Ephesians 2, 14 says, for he is our peace. John 16, 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And Proverbs 3, 24 says, and when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. And I shared that verse with Miss Mary. And I said, Miss Mary, when you lay your head on your pillow tonight, you can lay your head knowing that if you die in your sleep, you're heaven-born and you're heaven-bound. And she said, oh, thank you so much. And I went back to see her again. And I'll tell you the rest of the story at the end of the thing. So number one, I see here in this passage of Scripture, a peace on earth. And then in verse two, I see a place in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, Jesus Christ is the master carpenter. Can you imagine what it's going to look like? I can't even imagine. I don't care if it's a pup tent. I'm just glad I'm going and I've got a place in heaven. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You're here tonight, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, you got a place there reserved for you. And Isaiah 25:8 said, he will swallow up death in victory. Hosea 13:14 says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Then Revelation 21:1-5 says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Reading passages of scripture like that in the Bible should bring peace to the believer's heart. Revelation 21:8, in the building of the wall of it, talking about heaven, was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And Revelation 22:1 says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. So we see a peace on earth. We see a place in heaven. In verses 3 and 4, we see a promise in the air. And I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. You know, one of these days, Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's going to get us out of here. And that's going to be a wonderful thing. I would love to go. I think I've mentioned that here before. I know I'm going to heaven, whether I go in the rapture or I go in death. I'm heaven born, I'm heaven bound. I would rather do the rapture route. That sounds a little more exciting to me than the other deal. But you know, it doesn't matter. That's all up to God, whatever he decides. But there's a promise in the air. Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then that last verse says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a peace on earth. We have a place in heaven. We have a promise in the air. But verse 5, there's a problem to solve. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? I want to read this. This is from William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. This is what he said. The chief danger of the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, heaven without hell. Yeah. And that's what the world is teaching today. Yeah. But you know what? There's a problem called sin. And sin must be dealt with. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And because man is a sinner, he can't save himself. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So here we have a peace on earth, we have a place in heaven, we have a promise in the air, and a problem to solve. And then lastly, in verse 6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's a person to trust. You've heard my testimony, many of you, and I trusted in a prayer. I said as a 13-year-old boy that I don't even remember praying. thinking that was going to get me to heaven. I was trusting in my baptism, my church membership, and trusting in all three of those things. I would have died and gone to hell. Because salvation is not in a prayer. It's in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said here, I am the way. He didn't say he was a way. He said, I am the way. Buddha's not the way. Muhammad's not the way. Being a good person's not the way. Giving money's not the way. Being baptized is not the way. Being a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Catholic. No, none of that is the way. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. You have to put your trust and faith in Christ alone for the gift of eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God became a man like us so we can learn how to be a man like him. Hallelujah. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or demonstrated or showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Romans 10:9-10 says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And Romans 10:13, a beautiful verse says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have never called on God and asked him to save you, you need to do that before it's eternally too late. If you only celebrate one birthday every year, you're in trouble. You need a second birthday. You need the second birth. As Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You must be saved. You know what? It's hard for you to share peace with somebody when you don't have peace. I think of people who can lose their, you know, they think that they can lose their salvation. How in the world could you ever lead somebody to Christ? Well, look, you can pray this, but you might lose it if you do this or you do that. So what kind of salvation is that? That's calling God a liar, by the way. Because God says he gives you the gift of eternal life, everlasting life, and that's forever. And once you become a child of God, nobody can take that from you. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one, Jesus said. I had a friend of mine. His name was Charlie. Charlie used to run sound for me in my band. I shared the gospel with my friend Charlie. I gave him a Bible, had his name put on it and everything, and prayed for him. Every time I was with him, I would try to share scripture with him. And one time, I was at his house and shared the gospel with him. And I thought he was going to get saved. He was so close. But he said, Bruce, I'm just not ready. I said, okay, Charlie. And so I just prayed. I can't save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody, and that's Jesus, right? And I remember the day that I got the call that my friend Charlie had passed away. And my heart was broken because I didn't know whether Charlie had ever trusted Christ. But I found out when his mom called me and said, Bruce, is there any way that you could come and do the service for Charlie? And I said, Mama, I called her Mama. I said, Mama, I would be honored to do that for my friend. And so I was preparing the message and getting ready for that. And I talked to people who had said that the way they found Charlie, he had had a massive heart attack in his kitchen. And this is how they found him, in this position, on his knees, with his hands out, just like this. That's how they found him. And when they told me that, I said, wow, that's interesting. Huh. One of the hardest things is because all the people that came to his funeral were friends of mine that used to come and hear me in the clubs. And God worked all that out. And I got to share the gospel with over 200 of my old friends. And I thank God for that day. But my heart was so broken because I just didn't know whether Charlie was in heaven or not. I did not have any peace about that. And after the service was over, one of the hardest things I've ever done was when his mom came up to me and she said, "Bruce, do you think Charlie ever got saved?" I said, "Mom, I don't know." I said, "I shared with him, I prayed for him, and he knew I loved him. And I told him that Jesus loved him more than I loved him." I said, "But I really can't answer that question for you." And so when I left that day, I was in Pennsylvania at one church, and I had to drive home to do that funeral about 9 hours. Seven and a half maybe. And then after the funeral was over, I had to drive back to Pennsylvania starting another church. And I'll never forget when I got to that church that Sunday morning, I had all this on my mind about Charlie, and I'd been talking to the Lord about it, and I said, "God, I said, I know that you're in control, and I know you love Charlie. And I said, but I just don't have any peace in my heart, God, and I hate it. I hate that I don't, but I just don't. I'm just being honest with you." And when I got to the church that morning, I was setting up my CDs and stuff, and a grandmother and her granddaughter came walking around the corner. And the grandmother said, "Brother Bruce, my granddaughter has something she wants to tell you." I said, "Okay." So I got down on one knee, and her little granddaughter came up to me. She said, "Brother Bruce, I wanted you to know that I got saved reading the Herman the Bullfrog book. And my name's Charlie, and I'm getting baptized today. You could have knocked me over with a feather. Because in my heart, that was like a hug from heaven." And I shared that with Charlie's mom, with Charlie's brother. I said, "Look, I don't know what all that meant, but I said, I know one thing. I know what it did in my heart." And right after that happened, I had peace. You're here tonight and you don't have the peace of God. God wants you to have that peace, just like Miss Mary. All those years, she struggled. And her main problem was that she thought she was saved, but she was not saved. That's why she didn't have any peace. My friend Neil called me one day, and he said, "Bruce, are you out of state? Where are you at?" And I said, "No, I just got home, actually, Neil." And he said, "Well, Bruce," he said, "Mom's not doing well." He said, "Hospice is coming by here to pick her up." And I said, "I'll meet you at the house." I jumped in my car. I started heading towards his house. You know, I put it in the GPS, God's plan, salvation, God's perfect son, you know, whatever you want to say. And I was heading there. I was praying the whole way. And I was about 10 minutes from her house in Liberty, North Carolina. And he called me on the phone. He said, "Bruce," he said, "the ambulance just got here. They're taking her to Asheboro." So I had to recalculate, you know, and put that address for the hospice house in there. And when I got to the hospice house, I saw the ambulance coming around the back. So I went in. Neil and his family got there. I went into a room with them and shared some scripture with them, prayed with them. And then the nurse came and said, "She's ready, so come on back." And so we went back there. And at this time, Miss Mary had got to the point where she couldn't say anything. And I reminded the family, I said, "They say the last thing to go before a person passes away is their hearing." I said, "So if there's anything you want to say to your mom, to your grandma, your mother-in-law," I said, "now would be a good time to do that." And so they all went over and hugged on her and kissed on her and shared some things. I have no idea what they were saying. I stood at the front of the bed there. And when everybody got finished, I read these scriptures here, so that it would give the family peace. I reminded them about the day that Mary trusted Christ as her Savior and how that she had finally found the peace that she hadn't had all her life. And then I started singing this song at the foot of her bed. "Don't cry for me when my life's over, for my soul you'll come to claim. Because I know I'll live forever there within the Lord's domain. And if I'm there before this day is over, I'll be there before you know I'm gone. Don't shed for me your tears of sorrow, for Jesus takes care of his own. Don't mourn for me when I have left here. Eternal peace there will be found. The choice was mine from the beginning. My Savior knows I'm heaven bound. And if I'm there before this day is over, I'll be there before you know I'm gone. Don't shed for me your tears of sorrow, for Jesus takes care of his own. And right when I got finished singing, I looked over, the nurse said, she's gone. And Miss Mary went to be with Jesus in heaven and got to meet face to face the Prince of Peace. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to just ask you a question. Do you have peace tonight in your heart? Do you know for sure that if you were to die right where you're sitting tonight, that you're heaven-born and you're heaven-bound? If by chance you're here tonight and you don't know that and you don't have peace, would you let me pray for you? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I won't point you out. But I would love to pray for you. Say, Brother Bruce, pray for me because I don't have peace that I know that I'm going to heaven if something happens to me. Just slip your hand up. I'll pray for you. We'll move on. Is there anybody I could pray for like that tonight? Anybody at all? Don't see any hands. I want to ask you this question. In this message tonight, if God touched your heart some way, somehow, would you raise your hand so I could pray for you? God bless you. Father, thank you for speaking to the hearts of your children. Just a simple message and a simple reminder that you're the Prince of Peace and that we can have peace and we can have joy while we live on this planet. With everything turning upside down around us, we can still have the joy of the Lord and we can still have peace because you're the Prince of Peace. And I pray for these, my brothers and sisters, and I pray for those who may be listening online, if they don't have that peace, that they would get in touch with this church so they could find this peace that they've been looking for. And Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be here during the Share-a-thon, and I pray that all that needs to come in will come in and meet the needs of this ministry, your ministry. It all belongs to you. So, Father, help us to remember that you're the Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, the altar is open.